Hello, everybody. Welcome to session number two of the PEACE system, the Sanity Saving Priority Management System for Creative Entrepreneurs. This is Lisa Robin Young of lisarobinyoung.com. And today we dig into the second step of the system. As you know, today, E stands for examining priorities. And this is where a lot of people get stuck or hung up. You're hearing a ton of ideas buzzing through your head. The children are making demands, tugging at you for their needs. You have work demands and your own personal needs and desires. And it can get exhausting just managing the day-to-day stuff. And oh, then there's that whole trying to make a positive impact in the world thing, which adds another layer to everything. And I get it. It gets very overwhelming. I've been there. Sometimes I'm still there. We've talked a little bit about the five key areas already, so I will be referring to those today. But I'm also going to share with you three tools that you can incorporate into this step of examining your priorities to help you know for certain where your focus needs to be each and every day. Those tools are brain dumping, mind mapping, and backward planning. Now, none of these tools is a new invention. You may have heard of them before. Today, I'm going to take some time to outline each of them for you so that you have more tools to choose from in your arsenal to help you get clarity on what needs to be done every single day of your life. Because sometimes you're going to get stuck. You're going to have two competing priorities or more, and you're going to need to figure out which one of these things that both seem like they're calling me right now, which one is going to come first? Each of these tools that I'm sharing with you today is used in different circumstances for different situations when you're assessing or examining your priorities, okay? Each one of them will help you get clarity in different ways. You don't have to use any of them, and you should rarely need to use all of them, but each one of them gives you a different way to approach the chaos in your mind and help you get focused. Now, the one tool I use almost every day is my brain dump, and it's exactly what it sounds like. I just kind of open up my mind and dump everything in my brain out onto paper. And I'll explain my own process as we go through today's session, but I want to let this information soak into you before I give you a bunch of structures to play with. Because remember, the PEACE system is fluid and it's flexible. And while the process, the order of things, stays the same, that's the structure, the how you do it, the tools that you use within it are designed to be tailored to an approach that works best for you. The PEACE system is about options, okay? But not kid in the candy store options. You don't need to be paralyzed by too many options. I try to walk the fine line between not enough options and overwhelm. You need to know that in many cases, there is more than one way to skin a cat. There is more than one way to solve a problem. The tools and ideas that I'm sharing in this program are meant to show you alternative methods of achieving your goals so that you don't get stuck in a single modality. If you only know how to tie your shoes one way, when someone slips a pair of Velcro shoes on your feet, you won't know what to do. Okay? This isn't an all or nothing approach. What we want you to do is try things on, see what works for you, and incorporate those things in your daily routine. And the way you do it will very likely be different than the way I do it or the way that someone else in the program is doing it. The important thing is that you get started, and you're going to hear me say that in every session. You're going to quickly discover what works best for you, and those are the things that you're going to hold on to. But then when that thing stops working the way it has been or it's not working at all, you're going to have some other things that you can fall back to use, okay? And you're not going to discover anything until you get started. So that's important. Only you can determine what's a priority for your life. And that's why this step, examining your priorities, is so important. Other people, your boss, your colleague, your spouse, your family, your friend, some stranger on the street, the telemarketer who just called, the president, they're all going to try and foist their priorities on you. They're going to try and sway you to convince you to make their priorities your priorities. But that's an illusion. It only becomes your priority when you allow it to be your priority. It's a decision that only you can make. And all the jockeying that other people do in your life creates anxiety, tension, and other disempowering emotions. You have to learn to decide what your real priorities are. Now, decide comes from a root word, desir, which means to cut off, meaning you cut off other options. When you make a decision, the decision is made. It's final. It's done. Okay? So you need to learn to decide what your real priorities are. And I mean this on a grand scale as well as in your day-to-day activities. Your essential why, speaking from your true voice, helps you get clarity on your overarching priorities. And the five key areas of success are the guideposts that help direct that. And this step in the daily peace system will keep momentum rolling. It will always keep you clear. Things won't have an opportunity to get fuzzy and cloudy and gray on you once you start using this regularly. You've really got to just lay it all out so that you can see what's going on in your head. It's kind of like unpacking a box full of stuff that you've moved. We moved last year, and so we've still got boxes that we're unpacking from the move, and we don't necessarily remember what we packed in those boxes. It's kind of like that. You've got this box full of stuff, and you can't remember what's in it. So you've got to open it up and lay it all out and start picking through, and then you can find the real gems that are packed in this box. And this is kind of what goes on in your brain. So my favorite tool to do this, to unpack everything, is really simple. It's called brain dumping. And I mean, it really is just what it sounds like. I sit down and I just start writing out all the things on my mind. And we talked about morning pages. So it's that kind of process. And I just let out all the stuff that's nagging at me. Reminders, things I got to do, maybe stuff I've already even written down in my calendar. Anything that I need to be mindful of for the day, stuff that's on my mind, stuff that's pissing me off, whatever it is, I just get it all out of my head so it's not taking up space and onto paper. Now, I call this documenting. So when I say document your impressions, this is what I'm talking about. And I don't necessarily mean writing it down, because for you, you may document in a different way. You may use video or an audio recorder, or maybe you draw pictures, or maybe you do some other form of documenting the impressions that are coming out of your mind, okay? And this is a little bit woo-woo, a little bit hard to describe, so I'm trying to create a vocabulary that we can work with to talk about things that are going on inside your brain, things that you can't grab a hold of with your hands and manipulate around. I mean, this is stuff that's coming out of your head. So maybe you're seeing colors and you need to write that down, or maybe you need to draw it, or maybe, you know, you need to get in front of a video camera, or whatever method you can use to document the stuff that's coming out of you, out of your brain, that's what you need to do, okay? So when I say document your impressions, that's what I'm talking about. I write words because words are my art form. They're my canvas. They have the most meaning for me. They're the thing that's most easily accessible for me and the way I think, excuse me, and the way I move in the world, okay? One client I had was very visual, so she sketched out what she was seeing in her mind. And her daily items became these visual cues of things that she needed to be mindful of. So it doesn't matter how you document your impressions. It's only important that you actually document them in a way that is valuable to you. And here's why. If you're not documenting them in some concrete, tangible form, your mind continues to hold on to them. And I learned this the hard way. As we get older, it becomes more and more difficult to hold on to so many thoughts and ideas in our mind. And I'd like to challenge you with an exercise. Try this experiment today after the session is over. Go to your silverware drawer and start picking up utensils with one hand and putting them carefully into the other hand, one at a time. You can't grab a whole stack and shove it in your hand. One at a time, one at a time. Just keep adding silverware to the pile that's growing in your opposite hand. And keep adding silverware until you can't hold any more silverware in your hand. Now, if you're not in a big house like I am, and maybe you only have one knife, fork, and spoon, then start picking up your kitchen utensils or dish towels or washcloths or bath towels. Just fill your hand with as much stuff as you can possibly hold, and then keep adding more stuff. Eventually, something's going to slip out. And that's the idea here. You can't hold on to everything all at one time. And the same is true for your brain. Your brain can only hold so much information. Studies have shown that information in the mind any one given moment in time. That's one of the reasons why we have five key areas, because the study says it's called 7 ±2. So some people can handle 9 things and some people can really only handle 5. You know, some people, they're doing all they can to hold on to 5. So that's why we shot low on that. And yeah, there are exceptions to every rule. There are people who can remember long strings of data like pi to the 24th decimal place. But we're trying to make this easy. We're trying to do something that's approachable for the masses here. And that's why the PEACE system has 5 steps, and there are only 5 key areas to success. There are several built-in devices in your body that you can use to help remember that, because most of us have 5 fingers on our hands or 5 toes on our feet. This program is designed to help your brain use your whole body to make your life easier. So if you're trying to keep track of everything in your head, something is eventually going to fall through the cracks, guaranteed. So don't set yourself up for failure in the first place. Just document everything. Take it all out of your head and put it someplace safe. I use a notebook just for my PEACE system process. Every year at back to school time, I buy a big old stack of those 70 count spiral bound notepads, you know, the ones that kids take to school, college rules, and I'll pick up 20 or 30 of those, and I'll put them in a stack and I'll keep them there, and I'll just start on the first one and I'll just start writing, and I'll run through, you know, 2 or 3 of those in a month, doing my brain dump 3 or 4 pages every morning. And then, you know, I just keep going through them, and every year I buy a few more, and I get to go back and look at what I wrote and say, you know what, I want to go back and revisit that idea, or ooh, that was a good idea. And I don't lose my ideas that way. And I don't have to worry about trying to hold on to it and not forget it. You may have been told, you know, before you go to sleep, keep a notepad by your bed and so that you can write down your dreams or whatever. It's kind of like that idea. If you get this stuff out of your head, you don't forget it. And then you can go back to it when the time is right and act on it. Okay? So that's the notion of a brain dump. You can also use online tools. For years, I used a tool from Symbolology. If you've got a smartphone, you can use tools like Evernote. Basically, any way that works for you to consistently document what's coming out of your head, that's what you want to use. You're essentially creating a physical storage unit for your thoughts, the impressions that you've taken time to document in your morning brain dumps forever. It's in a safe place, or you can come back to it later, and then you don't have to worry about losing it. Now, I would also encourage you that if you are documenting them on paper, that you put them in a safe place, a secure place, where, you know, you're not worried about prying eyes or wandering fingers. I have a 6-year-old who, you know, is prone to want to take a piece of paper out of a notebook and start coloring on it, so he gets his own notebook for all of that, so that he's not invading my stash of notebooks for my PEACE system process. But see, here's the thing. Our brains are designed to help us keep track of what we think is important. Let me say that again because it bears repeating. Our brains are designed to help us keep track of what we think is important. So our brain is already in the loop trying to discern, is that important? Is that important? And there's, you know, not to get too heavy in brain science, there are different parts of our brain that control our emotions, our logical thought processes, and sometimes those wires all get crossed. So we see a roaring fire. Maybe it's a bonfire. It's that time of year, okay? And somebody's got a bonfire, and our body, our whole body, helps us be mindful of how close we are to that fire. Our brain is paying attention to the signals that we're getting. If we get too close, our body sends out all kinds of warning signals. We start with sweat, and then there's burning sensations, and then eventually there's pain, okay? If we get too close and we're there too long and near the fire, it's going to hurt. But if we're constantly being bombarded by information all day long, and we are because we live in a modern-day society, our brains and our bodies are working even harder to keep focused on the things that we think are important, including all those subconscious processes that your body's already taking into account. Like, remember to breathe. That's important too. Have you ever had a day where you forgot to eat? or you find that you've held your breath and you've stopped breathing for a second, then you're like, okay, I got to breathe. Our body's subconscious processes have stopped because we're focused on something else that we think is important. If you ever feel like you've been juggling too many balls or spinning too many plates, it's because your brain has marked too many things as important or really important or super duper important or critical or super hyper emergency critical. And that's where we get into the must-dos and the want-to-dos, and we're going to talk about those in the next session. They're so important. They need their own conversation. Today, we're just looking at ways to get all that stuff out of your head. Next week, we're going to spend more time classifying it, okay? But we got to get it out of your head. We got to get it documented. We got to get it sorted out and stored someplace safe so that you can come back to it at any time when the time is right and not have to worry about losing an idea if now is not the time to be focusing on it, okay? So where brain dumping allows you to just release everything and just kind of get it out of your head, and that's something, like I said, I do that just about every single day. A mind map or a backward plan is used when you're trying to figure out the steps or elements of a specific goal or idea. Mind mapping and backward planning are more organized means of focusing your efforts on a particular thought, concept, or goal. Let me say that again. Mind mapping and backward planning are more organized means of focusing your efforts on a particular thought, concept, or goal. Brain dumping, you just kind of spill it all out and spread it around and see what there is. Mind mapping, you're going to start categorizing things and putting things in, you know, in order as you're taking them out of the box. Backward planning is you decide where you want to put something before you go take it out of the box, kind of a thing. All right? So let's talk about mind mapping. Mind mapping is a term that was coined by a guy named Tony Buzan, B-U-Z-A-N. And it allows you to get very granular with your to-do list. Now, he didn't invent mind mapping, but he's coined the phrase, so he gets credit for it. And in getting really granular, you can take a very large goal, like organizing your entire house, and you can break it all out into the subparts, organizing the kitchen, organizing the living room, organizing the bedroom, organizing the office. And then you can break those subparts down even farther, kitchen sink, kitchen countertop, kitchen refrigerator, and each of those components can be broken down further. Refrigerator, freezer, top shelf of the fridge, inside door of the fridge, ice maker in the fridge, etc. So you can get really, really granular. And you can use that process of mind mapping and getting very detailed for anything. And if you're somebody who doesn't do a really good job with seeing the details, this is a tool that helps you focus. It trains your brain to focus and see things differently. I know for me personally, I struggled with dealing with details. For as important as details were for me, I was not good at seeing and dealing with them if it was my responsibility to deal with them. I could proofread somebody else's book and say, okay, this is wrong, this needs to be fixed, watch your periods, watch your commas. But in writing my own book, I didn't want to deal with the smart quotes. I didn't want to deal with the periods. I didn't want to deal with the punctuation problems because the minutiae of the details drove me nuts. But in mind mapping the process, I could see book's not done until we do this little detail. So let's go do this little detail. Okay? And in the center, this is how you build one, basically. In the center of a piece of paper, and you can actually get software online that will do these to infinite size for you as well, you write the topic or the goal of the mind map. For example, clean, organized home. Okay? So that's in the center, and then you put a circle or a box around that. That becomes the hub of the map. Everything else radiates out from this hub in some fashion or another, kind of like the center of a spider web. Okay? So from the center of the hub, you're going to draw spokes out, and you're going to label them as the different elements of your topic. So in this instance, clean, organized home, each of those spokes would be probably a different room in your house, okay? And then you'd spider web spokes off of each one of those little spokes. So, for example, if kitchen is one of your rooms that needs to be clean, you'd have the different areas of your kitchen, and then you could spoke off from one of those areas, like your stove, you could spoke off inside door, outside door, stove top, the range hood, the knobs and buttons, you know, you could really get super, super detailed in that process. You can get as detailed and specific as you want. And the great thing about the mind map is that it allows you to work in whichever hub you can see most clearly. So, you know, if you're really overwhelmed in a particular area, you're like, I don't even know where to begin over there, then you can say, okay, well, is there another hub? Is there another spoke on this hub that we can deal with? Yes, we can deal with that. All right, well, then let's work there until we have some more clarity somewhere else. Okay? Maybe an organized home is too overwhelming to consider, so you just keep narrowing that focus, and maybe all you can do is the freezer. Okay, but hey, you got the freezer done, and now you can celebrate having made some progress. And this goes back to the idea of getting rid of that judgment, clearing out the judgment-free zone. You know, your house didn't become messy in a day. Your project, you know, starts out incomplete. That's the nature of projects. And you can't always tackle everything in a single day. So you find the most doable component and you get it done. And when you get it done, you don't go, psh, that's all I got done. You go, yeah, I got it done. And it is done, baby. And now we go into maintenance mode on that thing. So this becomes a really powerful way to make a big project or a topic easier to handle when you're trying to decide what the priority is. You've created this big map and you're like, I know that I need to get my house clean. And I keep using that example, but you can use any topic, all right? I need to get my house clean. In examining my priorities today, which element of this mind map is going to be, you know, the thing that I'm going to focus on? Well, you know what? Today, with all the other stuff I got going on, the only thing I can do is clean off the stovetop. So that's what I'm going to do today. That's going to be my priority. And now you've got that map that you can go back to at some other point when you're ready to tackle the next piece, the next element in the project, okay? But what if you're not sure what all the steps are? What if you're not sure what all of the spokes and components of the project are? This is when I use the backwards planner. Now, essentially, it sounds just like it does. You plan backwards from what your end goal is. I essentially look at the end of the project and determine what it is I want to accomplish. For example, with my book, I knew I wanted to get it published and sell it, but I had no idea what all the steps were in the process. I knew I was starting with the outline that I wrote on the airplane ride home from a conference. So I had my outline with my 60 inscriptions. I had that. Then I knew the end goal was to have a business parable that people would buy. So between those two spots, I had no idea how much time that would take. I had no idea what other than, you know, write the book. I had no idea what had to happen. So I filled in what I knew I had to do, like write the book, which meant I had to start writing chapters and, you know, that kind of stuff, organizing the inscriptions and deciding what's going to go where. So I knew I had to do those things. I filled in what I knew I had to do for sure. And then I went all the way to the end of the project and I said, okay, what would I need to do just before this book sold a single copy? Well, I'd have to tell people to go buy it, probably, so that they knew it was available for sale. So that means I'd have to send an email. And before I could send the email, I'd have to write the email. And before I could write the email, I'd have to know what I wanted it to say. And before I could know what I wanted it to say, I'd have to have some feedback on it. And before I could I'd have to have some feedback on the book. And before I could have feedback on the book, I'd have to send out a few copies of the book to people that I trust. And before I could send those books out, I'd need to decide who I was going to ask, and so on. I took each of those pieces, those elements of getting this book sold, and I worked my way backwards until I got back to the beginning. And that's all backward planning is. But I will tell you that backward planning doesn't always cover everything. Sometimes there are things that you don't know that you don't know until you're in the middle of it. For example, I had never worked with an editor before, so I had no idea how the editing process worked. I mean, even researching it online, it didn't really give me an idea of how to work with an editor and what the process would be, other than I give them a book, they tell me to make corrections, and I make the corrections, and, you know, we go back and forth on that. But how we go back and forth, how long it takes, none of that stuff was clear to me. So I had this big block of time in my backward planner that said editing, and it was just kind of vague. It was like this cloudy, nebulous, I don't know what it's going to be like kind of thing, but I know it's out there. And I learned that the editing process includes some cooling off time, which means that there were times when I wouldn't be editing, so I had these pockets that I could do other things in, like working on the marketing or talking to other people about the book while I was waiting for the next round of edits to begin. And I couldn't have predicted that in my backward planner because I didn't even know it was part of the process. But using a mind map, I could certainly use the mind map to zoom in on the specific editing tasks and functions once I knew what they were and once I knew that I needed that structure in my editing time. So now hopefully you can see how those three different tools work at different times in different situations. You know, and it doesn't matter that you don't know all the steps in backward planning. Just flesh out what you do know so you have a rough timeline, so to speak, of first comes this, then comes this, then comes this, and then here's my end goal, all right? And fill things in as you get more clarity on them. Get it documented. And you're going to hear me say that time and time again. Document everything in your process, in your thoughts. Just get it out of your head so that it's not eating away at your brain power. If you're too busy worrying about things that you could just document and set aside, then your brain is wasting its energy doing that instead of doing your great work in the world. Don't be afraid to take what may look to you like baby steps. Because sometimes our greatest strides, the greatest distances that we can travel in our lives and in our professions, comes from taking teeny tiny baby steps. And I learned this, the value of taking small steps over leapfrogging. I learned this by watching some of my clients and colleagues grow their businesses. I know somebody who leapfrogged her way into a multi-million dollar business, and then because she skipped steps, she got big too fast, and she had to file bankruptcy because she just wasn't ready for what came her way. Now, I'm all in favor for getting a product or an idea to market quickly, but you got to be sure it's a viable product. You got to be sure that you're ready to some degree and that the thing that you're putting out there does what it says it's supposed to do. Okay? Another client of mine jumped into something that he hadn't planned out fully, and when he brought the product to market, there were a ton of complaints and grumblings that he hadn't planned on, that he thought he could just, you know, wave away and give them free service and they'd be happy, and that wasn't the reality. He did relatively little damage control, and it tarnished his image in the marketplace. And pardon my French, but he had hell to pay for nearly 15 months while we worked to correct the problems of him jumping the gun because he hadn't planned things out. In my own business, I've experienced issues where I didn't plan things properly and I had to pay the price because of it. I would rather see all of you making slightly slower progress or even significantly slower progress that is productive and profitable than to watch you take two steps forward and three steps back. And tools like these, like the backward planner, like the brain dump and the mind map, these tools are going to help you immensely on that journey. So as you're using these tools during your daily piece of time, you want to focus in on the needs or wants of each key area. So you're looking at this mind map of this giant, you know, cleaning the house project that you've got. If you know that Billy has a soccer game today and you want to be there, that's a family activity. That's a key area want. Right? If you know you need to be there because you haven't seen any of Billy's games or because you need to talk with the coach, then that's a family need. It's not just a want, and there's a hierarchy here. Needs have got to come first. If you're not meeting your needs, you're never going to get to wants and desires. And if you really want a nice clean house, that's fabulous. But if you really need to make sure that you're at Billy's soccer game, then the nice clean house has to wait just for today. Or you have to find another way to make it happen. And that's what this examining your priorities is all about here. So here's how it works for me. Most days, I start my brain dump as part of my prayer process, like my morning pages. I just start writing down all the things on my heart for the day. Lord, I've got this class at 2 o'clock. I want to be prepared. I want to present something that's going to make it worth their while to invest an hour of their lives with me. Don't let me blow it. You know, I just dump it all out. You know, we've got a radio station coming to discuss media coverage for an event. If that's not something I need to worry about, take it off my plate, Lord. You know, take it off my radar. These are actual things that I have written down in my journaling process so that you can understand how this works for me. And then you know, what you do may be completely different. This is how it's evolved for me, and it's going to flow for you in a way that works best for you, which is really why I love this process so much and why it has continued to work for me for so many years. So my brain dump begins as a part of my prayer and meditation time. That's where it begins. It gets completed here. Once I've dumped everything out, I have to go back and look at where are my priorities for the day. Today, for example, I have a family member coming to visit, so I need to be here to receive her when she arrives at my home. That's a family need priority. I can't not be here, especially when she's coming to my house, okay? My sons also need to be tended to when they get home from school. Another family need. And I want some time to work on a blog post this afternoon, so that's a fortune and freedom want. My needs have to come in front of my wants. Now, there are some people who be like, I need to write a blog post. Well, maybe there are times when I do really need to finish something. In that case, I have to re-examine my priorities and say, okay, someone else has to tend to the kids right now because I need to finish this. And that's what this section of the process of the system is all about, is getting clear on what are the real priorities in the five key areas of success. Have you neglected taking care of your health for 3 or 4 days in a row? Well, now it's a need. I'm sorry. You haven't exercised in a week. It's a need. You've been sick in bed and you know, you've been trying to work through that. Well, now you need some rest. You need to take time for self-care. That's what this step is. Looking at your five key areas and going, what are the real needs right now? What are the wants right now? And getting those on a list of this is going to evolve into your to-dos, which we will talk about in our next session. Okay? So I dump all this stuff out, and I ask for some guidance during the prayer portion to help me clarify what's important for today, just for today. And then I come back and I start listing out, okay, these are the things that are really important for today. These are today's priorities. And I don't worry about tomorrow. I just focus on today, because tomorrow never comes, people. Yes, there will be a tomorrow that becomes today. We want to get all crazy quantum science here. But tomorrow, the act of worrying about tomorrow is worrying about something that has never happened and never will happen. Tomorrow never comes and yesterday is always gone. Today is all we have, so we might as well be focused on doing our best right now in this moment. That doesn't mean you can't lay plans that will pave the way for an easier tomorrow. And we'll talk about that in next session with want-to-dos and must-dos and all that stuff, okay? But obsessing over tomorrow when you're not even there yet is draining valuable energy that you could be putting forward on today's work, today's great work, because that's what you guys are about, is doing great work in the world. We spend an inordinate amount of time worrying about tomorrow. Yeah, it's important that we plan for tomorrow. That's what today is for. But if there are things we can't handle today, then don't sweat them. Don't obsess over them. Don't freak out about them. Don't cry about them. Don't pout about them. I mean, you're going to, because we're human. But the less time and energy you spend on that, the more time you have and the more energy you have to spend on today. Okay? Focus on what you can do today and then do it. And we'll talk more about assessing the priorities, assessing the must-dos in our next session. So let's look for a minute at how you might incorporate these tools in the way you work the PEACE system. And then I will open up the floor for questions. First, you could very obviously just do what I do. Just start writing during your prayer time, have a conversation with God, document any impressions that you're getting. You know, that's what works best for me right now. When I was first starting out, though, I actually completed my prayer time and then started my brain dump. So I would do some prayer, because remember, I didn't do prayer and meditation, I just did prayer. Like, that was my grounding and centering, and, you know, I wasn't doing the give and the receive. I was just laying it all out there with God and then sitting down and going, okay, here's my brain dump, which is really basically more giving. It's more giving it up and letting it go and putting it out there and not taking in. So that's why I now do my brain dump as part of the prayer process, so that then I can receive guidance in meditation. I may get very clear guidance. Like, I just recently got some guidance that said, you know what, you need to stop eating bread until you've lost 50 pounds. I'm like, oh, I really didn't want that guidance. Thanks. I like bread. But I would not have gotten that guidance had I not been in meditative state and able to receive whatever the divine was sending to me. So now I have this new priority that I get to choose to incorporate into my life or not. And in this instance, I have chosen to incorporate not having any bread or bread-like materials until I lose 50 pounds. And that could be a week, that could be a year, that could be 10 years, that could be the rest of my life. But at this moment right now today, I've decided to continue to make that a priority for me. So in my health and my well-being and in my fitness key area, I have to make sure that I am giving myself the opportunity to make choices that support that priority. So when I first started doing this, I completed the prayer and then I did my brain dump, just listing out all the to-dos I had for the day and then prioritizing them based on the five key areas and my must-dos, which we'll talk about in our next session. But others of you may take a more project-oriented approach to this. You may decide you're going to use this time to get clarity on the next steps for a particular challenge, like getting ready for a yard sale, launching a new product, approaching a new customer, developing a new presentation, writing a new book. For people that separate the prayer from the examining priorities, okay, and those two things become two separate things like they were when I first started, usually this section, examining the priorities, this step in the process is going to take the longest for you. Okay? Remember last session I said my prayer and meditation takes a lot longer and I've structured my day to accommodate that. Part of that is because I do a lot of the brain dump stuff right there so that when I get to examining priorities and the rest of the system, it goes much more quickly. Okay? But for some people, they do the prayer and their meditation. It's real short, it's quick, and they're done. And then they move into this process. And this part of the process can take longer, especially when you're just starting. Okay? This is the first part of the proactive triaging that you're doing that's built into the system. And here's, let me explain what I mean by this. When I first started brain dumping my to-dos, I discovered that I had more to-dos on my list than I had hours of the day, which meant that every single day something was getting pushed off, not getting done, and things were falling through the cracks. Sometimes it was things I didn't want to fall through the cracks, and sometimes it was stuff I didn't even care if I ever did it, okay? But I wasn't being intentional. I was not being specifically focused on this thing is going to wait and this thing is going to get done. It was, oh my gosh, I can't believe I let that slip. Ugh. And then more energy going out on things that I can't control and bad and disempowering, you know, emotional blech that I don't need in my life. Okay? I was feeling overwhelmed and frustrated every single day. But then I started getting everything down on paper. And here's what happened. I could look back and see more clearly, oh my gosh, I'm expecting way too much of myself. I am only a human being, for crying out loud. I am not a machine. I'm not a robot. I do have a life. I do have kids. I was expecting way too much of myself. And yeah, I know a lot of people who expect way too much of themselves, and then they sit there and they go, but if I don't do it, nobody will. Well, if you don't do it and it needs to get done, someone will do it. If, and this is a big if you are willing to let it go long enough that someone else decides it's a priority. Or if you are willing to ask someone else to make it their priority. And that's a hard one, especially for women, to own up to. We take on, and you know, I include myself in this category of people, we take on substantially more than we're supposed to because it's easier for us to do it than to continue to ask somebody else to take responsibility. And it's got to stop. You've got to stop doing that to yourself. And the only way you're going to do it is when you sit down and really look at, oh my God, I just made myself commit to 74 different tasks today. I must be insane. And then love yourself and forgive yourself and say, well, I know I said yes to 74 things, but I'm about to say no to 69 of them. And get clear And what are the five things you really are going to tackle today? And anything else that gets done is frosting. Anything else that happens to get accomplished along the way is bonus brownie points for you. And you're going to make a conscious effort going forward to reduce that number so that you don't have 69 to-dos on your list today, that maybe you only have 50 tomorrow and 41 the next day and 20 the next day, and then it becomes manageable. By getting everything down on paper, you can see more clearly what you're expecting of yourself, and then you can be more reasonable going forward. Over time, your to-do lists get shorter until eventually you have right-sized your priorities. For me, figuring out those priorities are now just kind of a part of the conversation that I have with God every day. My brain dump doesn't take very long. I just do my morning pages. And by the time I'm done with my morning pages and I'm into meditation, I'm already getting clear guidance about this is what I need to focus on for today. This is where my attention needs to be for today. And again, when I'm talking about conversations with God, I just want to remind you, use the word that works best for you. I'm not here to ram my beliefs down your throat, okay? I'm just using the words that most resonate for me. So when you are brain dumping, you're going to see if your lists are really long or if they're really, really short. Normally, I don't get too panic-stricken about someone who doesn't have a lot of to-dos on their lists, but there are instances where a person will only put one or two things on their list of to-dos, and they're not moving forward like they want to in their business or their life, okay? And then they're wondering why. Well, you're wondering why because you haven't given yourself enough expectations. There aren't that many people in the world who lowball. Most of the people that I work with are overachievers who do way too much or try to do way too much, and then nothing really gets done, okay? Because I'm a recovering overachiever, so I think you know what I'm talking about if you are one, okay? But some people are like that. So if you find that you're only getting one or two things on your list pretty regularly, you might have enough room in your life to add one or two more things. But five is generally a good limit for everybody in the course of a day. Five major priorities for the day is going to be a lot for most human beings. What are your five priorities? And if you have one in each of the five key areas, you're really doing well. Most people try and kill two birds with one stone in a key area. Like they'll do family and fortune together or family and freedom together or something like that, okay? So that you're not focusing on five activities, five targets that have to all be hit today. Let's focus on, you know, three. Three is usually a good number for most people who live a typical, busy, modern American life. If you've got aging parents that you're caring for, or really small children, or special needs children that you're caring for, or some other complicating issue to what would otherwise be considered normalcy, obviously you're going to have to adjust this to fit who you are and what you do in your life. And that's the beauty of this program. You can totally do that. You can say, you know what? Five may work for other people, but I got to stick to three, or I got to stick to two, or if I could just get one thing done every day, Lord, this would be amazing. Okay? You have to know your limits, and I would be willing to bet you good money you've probably been pushing yourself beyond your limits for so long you have no idea what your limits are anymore. Give yourself permission to back up the truck and be more gentle with yourself. Be more forgiving with yourself, so that you can get all that stuff out of your head that you've been holding on to and decide what you're really going to take action on. Today, I am really going to do this. I'm going to put my effort and energy into making sure that this gets done. And I'm going to do everything in my power to make this thing happen. And if it doesn't happen, I'm not going to beat myself up as long as I did what I was supposed to do to the best of my ability. And today's best may not be the same as tomorrow's best or yesterday's best, and that's okay. And remember, we're getting rid of the judgment. We're getting rid of the judgment so that you can see what really is and move from a place of empowerment in a forward direction rather than staying stuck all the time. Okay? And when we get into clarifying your expectations, you're going to see how all of this comes together. It's important that you're documenting all your impressions, because you might be missing some great ideas because you're ignoring them or not noticing them or going, that's nothing. And then 2 years later, you're like, oh man, I had this great idea once and I can barely remember what it was. Okay. If you're documenting it, you can go back and find it. All right. So you'll get more clarity on that as we continue through the P system. Today, though, as you're adding these new elements to the P system, you've completed prayer and meditation, or as you're praying and meditating, take time to acknowledge and document all the stuff that's coming out of your head. And I know when you're first getting started with this, it's going to feel like a dam broke and the floodgates have opened and you're like, whoosh. Give yourself the time and the freedom to do that. That's why we only take one step each week in these sessions, because you need time to acclimate to this new exercise that you're adding to your routine. And it takes time to get comfortable with that. And a week really isn't enough time to get comfortable, but it'll start to become familiar. Okay? All right, I'm going to open the lines for questions now. If you have a question, just press *6 on your phone, and that will get you into the queue. *6. And as we wait for people to join the queue, let me just make mention that in the next 2 weeks, we're going to detail a process that really in reality, in physical, like real time, only takes a few minutes to do, tops. Okay, we're spending a lot of time getting very detailed and explanatory on each of these 5 steps over the time that we're together. But the whole process doesn't take that long once you've practiced it and gotten it down, right? Assessing must-dos and clarifying expectations only take a few minutes each, right? But there's a lot of behind-the-scenes brain work that we're going to explore on these 2 sessions that are coming up so that you can understand how it works, why it works, and then you'll totally understand why, although it's not the core of the process, you'll understand why it takes the least amount of time, okay? And you'll also understand what goes on inside you when those decisions are getting made. Some people don't particularly care for this much granularity and this much detail, but I am here to tell you, once you understand this stuff, it makes a lot of other things in your life a lot easier, because now you'll see how other people make decisions, how their motivations can get in their way. It also is really powerful for helping you in sales situations, believe it or not, because now you're starting to understand how the brain works in certain ways, and then you can have conversations with your clients that take into account that understanding of how their brain works. All right, I'm not seeing any more questions in the queue. So with that, I'm going to close today's call. If there's something that you need more detail on and you didn't get a chance to ask your question today, please shoot us an email, info@lisarobinyoung.com. We'll get your email straight to us. And if you have any feedback or any ahas or results that you've been experiencing as you've been incorporating these elements into your daily practice, we would love, love, love to hear from you. Positive, negative, empowering feedback is always welcome here. Same email address, info@lisarobinyoung, will get you there. That is going to wrap it up for us today. Until next week, this is Lisa Robin Young signing off in blessings and peace. Everybody have a great day.